This is the Wellness Puzzle Podcast with Andrew Jobling, author, speaker, educator, entrepreneur, and AFL player. Join Andrew as he continues his lifelong journey as a student of human behavior. This podcast will help you live your passion, explore your potential, step into your power, and embrace your possibilities.
Embrace your possibilities.
Possibilities.
Hello, this is Andrew Jobling and welcome to the Wellness Puzzle Podcast for another week. I have just had an incredibly powerful conversation with Monica and Mark Sandercock, who are a dynamic duo. They're relationship coaches. They work with people from a corporate point of view. They work with couples. They work with individuals. They're mindset coaches. They're doing amazing things to help people build the most important relationship, and that's the one with themselves. And Monica and Mark have been married 20 years. Which is exciting for them. But there were some challenges in the early days for sure. And they really had to negotiate the biggest issue. And that was issues that they had personally with themselves. It led to addiction issues. It led to a whole range of things, which they really had to navigate and negotiate. Probably the work that Monica had done on herself and the courage that Mark had to share some information that was the catalyst for a beautiful relationship that has now blossomed, and what they're able to do, not in their own lives, but in the lives of many, many people. This is a powerful, powerful conversation. Please sit back, relax, and enjoy my chat with Mark and Monica Sandercock. It's the dynamic duo, Mark and Monica. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you going?
Good. How are you guys?
Yeah.
Very well. Very well.
Good, 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 good. Good to have you both here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome. Yeah. Do you guys do many podcasts together?
If we do them, we often do together, but then Mark's got his own little backstory that a lot of people representing mental health, men's mental health, are interested in. So it really depends.
What I'm thinking, this is a test to see if you actually walk your talk, because you do relationship coaching, don't you? Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how you guys interact on a podcast, if you talk over each other, if you interrupt, if you disagree. So you know you're in the hot seat right now, don't you?
Right. We love it.
And there probably will be all of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because, yeah, we do relationships, and we're also human in the couple, and we're not perfect. So, yeah.
Really? I was expecting perfect, Mark.
We argue as well, would you believe it?
No, I cannot believe that for a second. Look at you two smiling happily.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, disagreements, they're all part of relationships, aren't they? And how we evolve and how we move through them. And I suppose we practice what we preach. We have to.
Mm. Yeah, you can't really be out teaching it if you're not practicing it, can you?
Correct.
You can. I mean, plenty of people do it.
Plenty of people do it. But I think, you know, we've got a blended family. I've got two children from my first marriage. We have a daughter, and I suppose now it's the norm. You know, unfortunately, that's the norm these days with the blended families and how to work that and the dynamics of that. And we've traveled that road and still traveling that road.
It doesn't end.
No, absolutely. And we wouldn't want it to end either.
No, we love the variety of challenges coming through. And I think that's why we love being in business, because it's unpredictable. And you never know what's going to come your way. And then we get to tackle it. We get to get scared. And then we get to work it out. We move through that. And that's the fun part.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing about relationships, isn't it? The greatest unknown of all time, of history, is how is someone going to respond and react? People are our greatest joy and our absolute greatest pain.
It's
been able to navigate and negotiate, isn't it? And particularly that relationship, the critical one, the one with ourselves, that's the one I have the most trouble with. He's like, why can't I get it together? What is wrong with me? You know, like that relationship with me, that's a really big, isn't it?
Oh, I think for everybody, that's where it starts. And we've all have those moments, and we still have those moments of like, what am I doing? How do I move through this? Where am I heading towards?
Yep.
And we can get lost in that, absolutely. And that relationship with self is the pinnacle of it.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about what you're doing right now. What are you doing? What are you excited about? How are you really impacting lives?
Well, it's become quite diverse for us in the last few years, which is fun because we both love variety. And we started off doing mainly relationship coaching probably 10 years ago, as well as individual coaching, mindset coaching. And then it's sort of diversed into doing self-care, well-being and mindset workshops as well for businesses and organizations. So that's the part we love so most, that we get to sometimes work with a couple, even though we work individually, because then Mark and I get to sort of geek out in the backgrounds and really help to heal and solve that relationship between a man and a woman.
Yep.
And also we get to work with individuals, men, women who may or may not be in a relationship, as well as be face to face with teams and people. We love being with people, not just online. Just the diversity of all that.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you're dealing with couples with their relationship. You're dealing with individuals with themselves. You're dealing with corporates with all the dynamics of a corporate situation. Yeah. If you were to describe your key message that you bring to the table with each group that you speak to, or each different demographic, what would be the common theme running through your message?
Great question.
I'm good at it. That's why I do this.
Great question.
I'm good at asking, not so good at answering them, great at asking them.
I think you touched on it before, Andrew. It's whether we work with individuals or couple, or whether we work with a team, it all comes back to having the awareness of relationship of self.
Yeah.
Always, 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 always. And that's why we love working with couples, because they come to us thinking it's like relationship counseling and they're going to be sitting on a couch and we're going to be mediating and they're going to sort of be able to throw some stuff at each other and we're going to jump in there and save them. However, we do none of that. We work with them individually on their own personal relationship with self, and that's where it starts.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to tap onto the end of that is with all of our coaching, you know, workshops, all that sort of stuff, we always lead it back to what is it within us? What is it within us that can change the outcome? What is it within us we need to clear up, to get over and move through, to go to that next step? And it's pretty scary as well. It's pretty scary when we listen to people in workshops gently, because you know they're there for attending, participating, whether it's through their business or organization. When we gently mention about, hey, this is really about you as an individual, what is what's happening within you, and that there, a lot of people, and look, I used to be the same. What are you talking about? Nothing wrong with me here.
It's everyone else's fault.
Everyone else's fault. And yes, I was like, yeah, that is our key message. You know, it's hard to put that mirror up to ourselves.
Oh, it's horrible. It's so much easier to blame. There's conflict everywhere in my life and it's everyone else's fault but mine. For some reason, I just turn up and people attack me. I don't know what's wrong with them. You know, it is hard to take that responsibility, but it is the key to joy, happiness, fulfillment, meaning in life. Until you can look at yourself in the mirror and go, hey, you're the problem. Not only the problem, but also the solution.
The solution, yeah. Well said. Well said. When you can have that thinking, actually, I can be the solution here. I can actually move the needle a little bit here to go there. And it's quite empowering, scary, daunting, all of that, but so humbling as well when we can have that awareness of it.
Shifted everything for us in our relationship, that we were able to first of all learn, have the awareness, because like you said, Andrew, if you don't have the awareness, how are you going to know? Everyone does the best they can with what they've got. And then when you understand that, there is a mirror here, I can take some responsibility, accountability for my part, however big or small that is. And I have the ability to change things if I do that. And that was really scary and confronting and uncomfortable. But when we started doing that, everything started to shift and change, and we're able to move through a relationship that was on its way out.
Yeah, and I think when you're able to have those conversations with your partner or with someone that you can share that's safe for you to share, when you can begin to have those conversations and know that the world's not going to swallow me up, I'm going to be okay. And whatever reaction or comes from it, just know you can have that conversation.
Yeah.
That is such a key thing, especially in relationships.
Yeah, I think so. That honesty is so important, isn't it? But often, and I know personally for me, I've resisted talking about my feelings and certain things because I was always fearful that I'd be rejected or it would end the relationship. But in fact, what it would do is strengthen it. We just want honesty. We just want vulnerability. But we have this inner fear. Well, I can't tell people how I really feel about me because they're not going to like me because I don't really like me. And that's where a lot of people at. Then you talk about that relationship with self. And I think, unfortunately, for a lot of people, they're on the foundation of not a lot of self-worth. Therefore, when you come into a relationship with no self-worth, you're expecting to get it from someone else. There's no way knowing in the million years you'll ever get it from someone else. It's something you've got to work on yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you've probably heard it, you know, a lot of people seek a partner to feel complete or to complete them. And it's not about that. It's about, as you mentioned, it's bringing a complete self to a relationship. You know, all of you, your good stuff, your bad stuff, your uglies, your flaws, bringing all of that, but being also comfortable with them all.
We've
all got stuff that we're guilty of or have some shame about. Absolutely. Bringing that to the relationship is just beautiful.
Our glorious imperfections, hey?
Yeah, bring them on.
Be proud of them. Be proud of those insecurities and those fears, and it's just part of what makes us human and what makes us who we are.
Yeah, and maybe even who we used to be. You know, I suppose I reflect a little bit. I'm not too sure how much you know of my story.
Just hang on a sec, Mark, because what we might do, I want to dig into your story. I actually do want to hear both of your stories and then how you ended up together and how this whole beautiful thing started. We might have a quick break first because then we can really dive into it. So let's have a quick break and we will be back.
Hey there, I'm Wally, a New York Times best-selling children's author.
And I'm Ozzy, a skydiver that executes stunts for films.
And I'm Jobbers, an unlikely AFL footballer and an accidental best-selling author. Join our podcast called Wally, Ozzy and Jobbers to learn how to shift your perspective and live your best life.
We'll be taking you on high-flying adventures from around the world.
Like a good kids book, we'll take what we talk about seriously, but we'll never take ourselves seriously. So come along and join us for the ride.
I'm going to say something, and you're probably going to judge me, both of you, and I'm ready for it. I love Married at First Sight. Do you ever watch it?
Oh, Andrew.
I know. I knew you'd say that, Mon. I knew you'd shake your head at me. There's a couple of things. Number one, I'm a romantic. Even though I know the whole thing's scripted and it's built for drama. But the other thing I love is just watching the dynamics between couples. And you can see the ones that seem to do okay are the ones that are more open to communicate and share and see it from the other person's perspective. And the ones who crash and burn, it's just big red lights shining on them going, they're all just about themselves and they're only thinking about how to fix them. Anyway, I thought I'd throw that in there just so you could laugh at me.
Monica loves it.
Yeah. Oh, do you, Mon? Oh, awesome.
Monica loves it.
I love it for the very same reason, Andrew. I totally geek out on the human behavioral part there and, you know, just why we do the things we do and how our fears and shame play out in all those roles. And, yeah, I can't get enough of it.
And for you, it's professional development, really, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
So you can write it off like it's a tax deduction. You can charge your time to watching Married at First Sight and make it a tax deductible.
That's it. I like it.
Yeah. Anyway, we won't talk any more about Married at First Sight. We could, but that's an off-air conversation. Okay, so let's start with you, Monica. I want to hear about you, a bit of your story, how you ended up here, and tell us whatever you'd like to tell us.
Yeah. So I've been in Australia for 20 years this year, actually. And I'm from Sweden, so I came as a backpacker and I had done my year in Australia and I had finished off working on a sheep station up in northern sort of rural Queensland because that was one of the things I really wanted to do. And on my way passing through Alice, I met Mark and he was just there working for a couple of weeks and I met him very, very briefly and I never thought I'd see him ever again. However, Mark was very persistent, emails, and that was all we had back then. And we got to know each other and fell in love over a year via emails, really. And I moved back here and we got married, and that's kind of how our relationship began. And yeah, it's going to say it's probably easier starting with where Mark sort of came into that, with our journey through coaching and whatnot. I came here not believing in myself, trusting myself very much. I had run from every responsibility there is, always traveled and never wanted to settle anywhere to even have a look at myself. Didn't think I was really capable of much, and that filtered into our relationship.
Why do you think that was, Monica?
My self-worth, definitely. I wasn't very good at school, which I think laid the foundation for a lot of that. I can't do things. And the big one was I can't learn. That was my biggest belief, that I can't learn. So it was easy to travel and escape and do things that I was good at, learning languages, travel.
Can I stop you for a sec? Isn't it interesting? I can't learn on one hand. On the other hand, I can travel and I can learn languages. So yeah. On one hand, you can't learn, but on the other hand, you can learn. Isn't that interesting? That, and I'm just sorry to pick you up on that.
No, no.
Don't we do that to ourselves all the time? On one hand, yeah. We say, well, I can't do that. On the other hand, people go and do it anyway. But they don't recognize the fact that it's 100% a belief thing.
Yeah.
What we say to ourselves is so powerful.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's great. I probably believed that until I was in my early 30s that I can't learn. And I dismissed all the things that I had done that was really courageous.
And all the things you'd learned.
Yeah, absolutely. And then eventually I started our business here because I wanted to save our relationship. We had a little one by then, and Mark was, unbeknown to me, a functional drug addict. I'm cutting into some of his story now. And
don't worry, we'll give him his chance in a sec. This is your perspective on it's important.
So yeah, I was grasping at anything that I could find to save myself more than anything, and also to trying to piece our relationship together again, because it was sort of really heading down south very quickly, and we were having thoughts about needing to sell a house. And I'd invested a lot in coming here and leaving my family and everything I knew back in Sweden. So, yeah, that's how I started our coaching business. And as I was getting more and more confident with what I was learning about myself, that, as you said, Andrew, indeed, I could learn, and starting to back myself and create some goals for myself, some dreams and plans, and knowing that I could achieve them. And alongside of that, Mark was probably feeling more and more scared, and sort of I felt like he was starting to bring me down and doubting me, but he was really sort of doubting himself. And yeah, I suppose that's where Mark's journey comes in play with this.
Yeah, I suppose that crabs in the bucket metaphor comes to mind. When someone's growing and the person who's not growing is sort of doing the odd, hey, where are you going? Where am I in this? Who am I in this? Who are you becoming? And you start to bring that crab or the person down back to my level where I know you and I can handle that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's sort of where it began. And yeah, here we are 20 years, you know, celebrating our 20th wedding anniversary this year.
Yes.
This year.
You better remember, mate, or else you'll be back with the crabs.
Yeah, you would have had an on-air discussion.
Yeah.
So part of my story, yeah, as I said, we met. I had a marriage prior to young children, and I was finding myself as well. You know, after coming out of a marriage and my children's mum decided to end it, I was really unaware. A lot of blokes are unaware of a relationship not firing or not as good as what it should be. A lot of blokes tend to just keep going along.
Yeah, head in the sand kind of thing.
Totally, absolutely. So I had to go on a discovery journey of my own of who am I? I've got two little kids, you know, shared care. However, I'd always indulged in marijuana and recreational drugs, and it was just the weekend sort of thing. Marijuana was probably a little bit more often. And I suppose that increased as I was finding myself. And then going through, you know, Monica and I met, And, you know, we got married and I was working corporate for 15 years. And the thing was, I had my little secret of using drugs that no one knew about. And
so Monica didn't know about it at the time?
No, she knew that I would use drugs on the weekends or, you know, if we went to a party, something like that, but never knew to the extent. Monica hated it. Monica hated drugs. And I knew she hated it. And when my son was in his teenage years, I really struggled with conflict of my own inner conflict of like, who am I to be a role model?
Yeah.
And he was starting to come into the circle of, you know, drugs being out there. You know, as he's a teenager, suddenly you go to parties, it's out there.
Yeah.
So I felt a real inner conflict and it started to burn me a little bit, you know, in regards to just this, it's not right. I still couldn't give it up though.
What was it doing for you, Mark? Why did you feel like you needed those drugs?
Numbed out, numbing out. You know,
what were you numbing?
Yeah, just numbing from having to take life or the world seriously, not stepping up as a man.
You said your ex-wife ended your relationship and it came out of the blue. That probably smacked you around a little bit too.
Totally, totally. That was just a total shock. You know, two little kids. Like my lad was 5, daughter was 3, and having to say goodbye to them in what was at that time the family home was one of my lowest of lows.
Yeah.
And having to say, hey, guys, I've got to move out. And, of course, they didn't really have any idea, you know, any of the concept of that. So, yeah, that was tough. I had to move back in with my parents for a few months, and I don't know if you've ever had to live with your parents. It's not that easy when you're an adult to move back in with your parents. And then set myself up and bought in a house and reestablished. And Monica and I met not long after that, actually, which is really cool.
So you both came into your relationship, by the sound of it, and correct me if I'm wrong, with some both having some unresolved issues.
Absolutely.
Monica, you sounded like you had some lack of self-worth around your ability to learn. Mark, you've been slapped around in a relationship and feeling probably a little bit unworthy yourself and taking drugs to numb that pain a little bit. And then you two meet, which obviously you're still here 20 years later. You know, your love was meant to be, but I'm sure at the time that was a pretty lethal cocktail, I would imagine, coming into a relationship with those feelings of self evident. So tell us how that sort of manifested.
Well, I suppose in the beginning you have the rose-coloured glasses on and everything is wonderful and, you know, we still and were back then very much in love and loved each other. However, the drug use Mark was talking about, you know, there was the marijuana, but what I wasn't aware of was that he was, you know, swapping one drug because I'd been nagging him for years and years and years and years to stop. So he stopped that and then he started using meth instead that I couldn't pick up. So that's the drug use he was talking about,
right?
That. Yeah. And the relationship just got, I suppose, more and more challenging. And it was already, like you said, challenging because I'm coming with my stuff, you know, not believing in myself much. And then Mark's coming with his. And it's not just, I suppose, a marriage breakdown because there's stuff that we take with us from childhood, both of these, and then another trigger with a marriage breakdown and so forth. So, yeah, eventually all the stuff comes out. You know, we are mirroring us, our own stuff. They say we, you know, we marry our unconscious mind, meaning that there is this other person that's mirroring back to us what we need and what we can work on. So it was on.
Yeah, I think what kept us or allowed us to stay together was we were both passionate about love and what we had and wanting this relationship to work. And the feelings that I'll speak for myself here that I experienced when I met Monica and then wanting to keep that far outweighed running or giving up. It was about, this is important. This means a lot.
Yep.
Monica has always been passionate about relationships, just so passionate about relationships, it's nuts. That core, and yeah, we both brought our own stuff in, but we had this one core that allowed us to still sit in the, well, we say sit in the car still, to stay in the vehicle because we knew what we have, and we just had to tidy some stuff up.
Yeah.
And be honest and be open.
That's awesome. So you had that strong foundation of love and something that you wanted it badly, which I think is awesome. And again, this is really important because I think there's a lot of relationships that probably they say love is not enough. But for you guys, it sounded like it is, or it was enough for you to actually say, right, we need to work it out. So tell us a bit about that journey. How did you solve these issues? How did you come together?
I think that's the love, yes, and also our values. You know, we valued a lot of very similar things. So we're a great match, but like pretty much everyone else, we bring stuff to our relationship. And it shifted when I started the business and I started to get back myself. I knew that I had people in the community, in the around me, the coaching community, I had mentors, I had my own coach that could help me. So when Mark, I actually gave him a ticket to a Tony Robbins event a year into my coaching, not understanding or knowing that Mark had some big secrets that he was carrying and a lot of, you know, fear and guilt, etc. And there was a big shift for him during that event. And he came home and he said, honey, I've got something to share with you. And he told me that I'm a drug addict, and he had not been wanting to tell me for the fear of judgment. You know, why haven't you told me? How much money have you spent? You know, why have you been hiding this from me?
Yep.
And because the work that I had done, I was able to just hug him and thank him for sharing that with me.
Awesome. Wow. Good on you.
And I think that was the pivotal point.
That is a pivotal point, because you could have pushed him away very easily and that could have been the end. And it would be, for a lot of relationships, that would be the end. But the way you handle it, Monica.
Massive, massive moment. To reveal something so vulnerable and scary, to have your partner hug you when you're sharing something like that, there's no words. You can't quantify that. And that was amazing. And I think if we can even share more of that, when people do come out and share whatever it is they've gone through or doing or done, if we actually give them a hug and give them love in return, it can really actually assist everybody moving forward. Because prior to going to Tony Robbins' event, I was going on my morning walks thinking, no drugs today, no drugs today. It was burning me up. And I'm thinking, suicide, yeah, it's an option, but it's not my option because I've got kids, I've got a life, and I know I've got people around me. And then when Monica gave me that ticket, it was like, this is my thing. This is it. I'm doing it. I'm done with drugs after this. And when she gave me the ticket, which I had no idea about, I was like, yes, this is my time. And when I was at the event, I rang her after the first day. I said, love, I need you to go in the shed. There's some stuff there. Get it. Throw it out. Go in the other shed, get that, throw it out. She never ever heard me use that language. And then I had to come home and tell her, hey, love, I'm a drug addict. And this is what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Even now I've got this bit of emotion. Yeah.
Good, mate, good. That emotion is because this is so important for you. Can you imagine your life had you not had that conversation? Where would you be today? And you don't even want to think about where you, and that's why you're getting emotional, because imagine having lost what you have.
We would have been divorced.
Yep.
We went to meet this the other night. We went out to dinner and probably would have been divorced. No idea what kind of shape or condition I would be in or either of us would be in. The beauty of that negative thinking, of the thinking of, you know, negative visualization, it brings me back to gratitude.
Yeah.
So there's actually a positive in the negative visualizations where it brings me back to gratitude and what I have now.
Yeah.
It was massive. I'm forever thankful for those moments. That moment.
That's awesome. Anyway, guys, wow, what a powerful, powerful story. Thank you both for sharing that. I mean, there's some pretty personal, vulnerable stuff you've just shared, so I'm very grateful for that. Let's have a quick break, and now we're going to come back and talk about how you now took that relationship from, well, I guess you're back to ground zero at that point, how you then turned it into this beautiful relationship I see in front of me right now. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Mark and Monica here from Magnificent Mindset. We're absolutely stoked to be here with Andrew Jobling on The Wellness Puzzle, sharing our thoughts and our experiences. If you'd like to know more about us, head over to our webpage, www.magnificentmindset.com.au. Check us out and grab some free stuff whilst you're there.
Again, that was just wonderful, guys. Thank you so much for sharing. And Monica, you're good. That was such a beautiful response. I just give another hug, Mark. People can't see this, but we've got a bit of love on screen right now. We've got a bit of Bachelor, a bit of Married at First Sight. We've got it all. Monica, I'm sure you watch all of those too, don't you? Do you watch like A Farmer Wants a Wife and all of them? She's nodding her head, so yeah.
Yes, I do. Yes, I used to anyway.
Yeah, well, Farmer Wants a Wife, I think, starting soon. So you've got a new...
Oh, yeah.
You've got a new reality show to enjoy. Anyway, Monica, I want to now know just how that felt when Mark was sharing that with you. And then what was your just natural response to that? And what did you... Talk us through that, because I think this is really important for men particularly to hear this, because so many men... Both. I'm not being sexist here, but being a man, we don't like sharing. We don't like showing vulnerability. We don't like being weak. We don't want to show that maybe we're flawed. And so it's fearful for a man to share this kind of stuff. And for women listening, they go, yeah, I just want to hear and help. I want to be there. But men, we're just fearful of being rejected. I don't know, for me. So Monica, from a female perspective, how did you respond when Mark came home and shared that with you?
Well, I think I would have, well, I know I would have had a very different response, would have not been on the journey myself of, you know, healing my stuff for a year before that, you know, knowing I can handle anything that came my way, that I backed myself. I put all the credit in that, because in that moment, I just felt gratitude. I was so grateful and happy that he was coming clean, he was sharing this with me, and it made so much sense that he was able to openly have that conversation. So I just felt joy and gratitude, and I knew that together we could move forward now finally. And also knowing that there's more stuff behind the drug use is just a top of the iceberg.
Well, it's the symptom, isn't it? That's really the symptom of something that's way, way deeper.
Any gambling addictions, anything like that, it's just a numbing effect. So I was then curious about what's behind. Let's get to the nitty gritty so that we can both be on this journey together and be together as a couple, be vulnerable, be present. I think that was the one thing that's missing a lot, being present together. So I was really, it was hard seeing Mark go through that and supporting him on that journey. I got myself a coach. I got Mark a coach so that I can be there and support him on his journey as well. But it's only been kind of upwards and onwards since then.
So I think the key thing you said there, which I think we need to probably focus on a little bit, you said you wouldn't have responded the same way had you not done that work on yourself.
Absolutely not.
How were you different than you were 12 months earlier?
So I think the main difference was just that learning that I could handle what I shared before. I didn't believe in myself much prior to that, that I could do hard things. There were some things I knew I could, but a lot of the things that I didn't believe I could. So the difference was that now I knew that I had that within me, that no matter what came up, I could handle that. I could find a way forward and I could reach out to people to support me.
You felt worthy.
Yeah, definitely. It was that was just the beginning. That was 10 years ago, but enough to know that I could handle whatever we were going to get, you know, whatever was coming next for us as a couple. Because then there were so many challenges after that with starting the business and sales and marketing. And, you know, that never ends. But then we were both in it together.
You were in it. Yeah, awesome. So, Mark, tell us a bit about that journey, getting out of that addiction.
I think for myself, and this probably there'll be others who will relate to this, you know, when you've had an identity for so long and you've been doing something for so long, it becomes you. So I had a lot of fear, heaps of fear around, who will I be? You know, will I still be funny? Will I still be able to have a good time? Will I be able to go out and actually just have fun? And I was serious about that because I was worried about, will I be able to go to that barbecue without drugs? Will I be able to go to dinner? Will I be able to go away? You know, I used to use meth as my pre-workout, just nuts. You know, when I think about it now, I'm just like, wow. So once I made that decision to give up and then just stuck with it and knew that I could do it, the first part was the awareness of like, I'm giving up. And then it was like owning it. I had to own it. I had to let people know that what I'm experiencing. Once I'd written it down on paper, which was scary as writing down I'm a drug addict, was just, there it is in front of me. And I'd never done that. I built up reference points. Yeah, I got coached afterwards. Absolutely. I dived into coaching to take myself even further to make sure I nailed this. It just meant that when I went to go to dinner, or we went to go to the gym, or I went to go to the gym, whatever it was, I built up reference points. I did that. I was okay. I caught up with friends. I had to change friends. That was tough because I'm born and bred here in Adelaide and played footy, school, big community around me at that time. And unfortunately, a lot of those people that I was hanging with, I couldn't hang with them anymore. I had to create a massive bridge, a moat. And that was tough because I'm not going to have any friends. I had to just make a decision for me. And the thing was, though, I was still a funny guy. I still had fun. I could still go to the gym. I could do all that. I just built up more reference points. And now I have even better challenges, which aren't drugs or alcohol or any of that sort of stuff. I have better challenges. What Monica said before, she said about presence. That's just like bang, you know, because I was actually fully present to Monica, to my kids, to my parents, to my friends. I was actually truly present because I didn't have any cloudiness, didn't have any numbing things within me or needing to numb. I could actually just be. That was massive.
That's awesome. So good. So what's great about your relationship now? What is it that keeps it growing and improving? I'm watching you guys look at each other and I can just see that adoration you have for each other after 20 years, which is amazing.
Thank you.
How do you do it?
What's great, I think, is that we can continue to challenge each other and grow, that we always have something fun, like a new project. Doesn't have to be a relationship, you know, business. Only just last week we started doing cold water immersions in our pool. How now it's getting colder in Adelaide.
Crazy. We're like,
that's fun.
Whose idea was that?
That was mine.
Yeah. You are crazy, officially.
So just that, and now we can both be in it. Like I come up with some idea and then I'll nudge him a little bit more and a bit more and come on, let's do this. And then it's like, all right, then rather than holding back, I can't, which is what the old story was. Now we're like in it together.
Yeah.
We challenge each other and we can grow and we can learn and we can experience more adventure.
And you're clearly able to talk to each other without fear of judgment or fear of. And I think that's a big one. So that open communication is probably the killer in most relationships and the cause of most conflict.
Yeah. When you asked that question, I was like, being able to have difficult conversations, being able to have hard conversations, and it doesn't go to an argument. We don't take it personally. We sit and we just have the conversation. We don't avoid stuff. That is a massive highlight. And that probably sounds weird for many when they're hearing this, but being able to have those conversations and not get into an argument is so fruitful and it's so open and there's growth, and mix that in with fun. Yeah, we make sure we have fun, we're lighthearted.
Pay each other out because we still, like I said, we still argue, but we can come back a lot quicker.
How do you come back from an argument? Talk through that because that's an important point. I mean, couples argue, people argue all the time, and then a lot of them go away with resentment, and that builds and grows and builds and grows and turns into this horrible beast.
Yeah.
What do you do after an argument?
And that's just what we used to do. And, you know, we used to argue a lot about sex, for example. Mm-hmm. There used to be a common thing, drugs, sex. And then we would just retrieve and then we'd push it under the carpet. Nothing got resolved. And then 2 weeks later, you know, we started talking a bit again and that the problem was still there. Now we still get triggered and we might have a disagreement and we just give each other space and then we come back to it and we can then sit down and go, look, actually, I'm sorry, you know, this brought stuff up for me. This is kind of what I felt or, you know, what this meant for me in this moment. I need to work on this. Or, you know, when you mentioned this, like, this is how I feel.
Yeah.
And we don't make it about.
So you weren't pointing fingers and you weren't blaming. You're not saying, well, you made me feel this way.
No.
The worst comment you can ever make, ever. You made me feel like that. But you talked about how you felt, but you weren't blaming Mark. You were saying, well, this is how I felt as a result of that.
Yeah.
So you're taking responsibility for it.
Yeah. And I really like where now I can have that little 5-10 minutes away, you know, walk out the back or wherever, I can come back and I can say, hey, love, that wasn't cool what I said. That wasn't cool. And that was something within me that's just bubbling up. I'm going to look into that. Having just be able to come up and say, that wasn't cool, I apologize, is massive. So we just bring it back. We don't allow that separation to go too far. We bring the connection back in so we can resolve it, whatever it is. That's probably the key for me in regards to how we move forward. When we have an argument, I can't even remember a really big argument we've had, but discussions or heated times.
Yeah, like I said, we still argue, but we can bring it back. And the main thing is what Andrew mentioned there before, that we don't point fingers.
Yeah,
it's more like I've got some stuff, you got some stuff. And we take ownership and we go, I need to work on this stuff. So it was, you know, us as much grief next time. And then just get a little bit better and then we work on it again. Like we are still have lots of flaws and we feel, you know, but we work on it together.
Yeah. And I think it's important that you don't beat yourself up as well. Because I think that's the other thing. We beat ourselves, oh, I'm terrible. I can't do this. And I always cause problems and blah, blah, blah. And then we beat ourselves into submission. But we're all human. We're all going to say dumb stuff, particularly men. Well, put my hand up. We just say things, even as they're coming out of your mouth, going, uh-oh, that's not going to land well, even as it's coming out of your mouth. And you're watching it as that lands and you're predicting the response, even though you know you shouldn't be saying it, but it's coming out and it's like, oh, no, and you're trying to pull it back in. But too late. It's out. But we do it. We all do it. Men do it, women do it, kids do it, old people do it, leaders do it, bosses do it, employees do it. Everyone does it. And it's just being self-forgiving. But also you guys just have this amazing self-awareness and also have this empathy that you're able to actually see what the impact of your behaviors on the other person and take responsibility for that. And I think so many powerful lessons wrapped up in what we've spoken about. We could talk for hours. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap it up. So thank you so much for everything you've shared. Now, if people want to reach out to you guys and get your help, they may be going, yeah, we need lots and lots of help. How do they get to you?
They can find us on our website, magnificentmindset.com.au, or they can find us on the socials, Magnificent Mindset, and Instagram, Facebook. Look us up on there. Happy to connect with your awesome listeners, mate, and anyone else out there.
Beautiful. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Monica. Wonderful. Amazing conversation. I love it. I really didn't know where this would go. And I knew it would be good, but I actually didn't expect it to be as good as it was. It was really powerful simply because you guys were so vulnerable and raw and honest. And you've gone through an incredible transformation. And now you're helping lots of people. So good on you for that. And thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
That was really cool.
What a wonderful conversation with Mark and Monica that was. Wow. I'm still a little bit numb. I'm still just a little bit buzzing from that powerful conversation, that incredible story, and how they turned that challenge around with the drug addiction, how they worked together, how they connected, how they came together, how they worked on themselves, and how they've turned their relationship into something that's so beautiful and so impactful, not just in their own lives, but in the lives of many, many people. Very powerful story. So I really want to encourage you, if you've got some issues with your own self-belief, self-worth, if you've got some relationship challenges with your partner or with someone else or certainly any workplace, then I want to encourage you to reach out to Mark and Monica. And you can do that by going to magnificentmindset.com.au and read about them, find out about them. You can contact them from the website. What a wonderful week it's been. Thanks for being with me. Please share this powerful, powerful message with as many people as you can. And then come back and join me next week because I'll definitely be here. My name's Andrew Jobling. This is the Wellness Puzzle Podcast.